Welcome to another edition of the Arantia Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Jim Watkins, longtime student and reader of the fifth epical revelation, the Arantia book. And because Jesus is the reason for the season, I thought it would be great to have an episode where we take a look at the final words spoken by Jesus as he's about to depart this world of his bestowal. And the words that he says to certain groups over the appearances that he made just prior to his final departure. And it's very interesting when you look at the last few things, you know, when you and I, when we know we're about to leave for a vacation or we're about to go off on a new adventure, we choose our words very carefully when we know that they're going to be the last final words. And when you think about the fact that here was this man God, really, who knew that his time was short. And this is the master of the universe. This is the creator's son. And he had some final words that he wanted to express before he departed. And this occurred to me that, you know, because of the importance of them being his final words, I went and I looked and I looked at the different people that he chose to associate with in those final moments and the things that he chose to say, not only to general believers in one part of Israel, but in another, with his apostles and his disciples. And then he goes and he visits other believers that are scattered about. And it's amazing to read these final words and compare what he said to each of the different groups. And we'll do that in just a moment here on the Arantia Radio Podcast. So since Jesus is the reason for the season, I'm hoping that if you're feeling so inspired by these incredibly powerful words that I'm about to share with you, that you'll share them with friends on this holiday season. And these come from the final pages of 193, paper 193 in part 3 of the book, which of course is the life and teachings of Jesus. And again, Jesus is the reason for the season. So I want to perhaps have one full episode about the words of the Master. And so reading from paper 193, the final appearance before his apostles and disciples, it reads, "On this evening, the Jerusalem believers had made their first attempt to get together since the resurrection. Assembled here at this time were the 11 apostles, the woman's corps, and their associates, and about 50 other leading disciples of the Master, including a number of the Greeks. This company of believers had been visiting informally for more than half an hour when suddenly the Arantia Master appeared in full view and immediately began to instruct them. Said Jesus," from paper 193, "Peace be upon you. This is the most representative group of believers, apostles and disciples, both men and women, to which I have appeared since the time of my deliverance from the flesh. I now call you to witness that I told you beforehand that my sojourn among you must come to an end. I told you that presently I must return to the Father. And then I plainly told you how the chief priests and the rulers of the Jews would deliver me up to be put to death, and that I would rise from the grave. Why then did you allow yourselves to become so disconcerted by all of this when it came to pass? And why were you so surprised when I rose from the tomb on the third day? You failed to believe me because you heard my words without comprehending the meaning thereof. Paper 193, section 3. "And now you should give ear to my words, lest you again make the mistake of hearing my teachings with the mind, while in your hearts you fail to comprehend the meaning. From the beginning of my sojourn as one of you, I taught you that my one purpose was to reveal my Father in heaven to his children on earth. I have lived the God-revealing bestowal that you might experience the God-knowing career. I have revealed God as your Father in heaven. I have revealed you as the sons of God on earth. It is a fact that God loves you, his sons. By faith in my word, this fact becomes an eternal and living truth in your hearts. When by living faith you become divinely God-conscious, you are then born of the Spirit as children of light and life, even the eternal life wherewith you shall ascend the universe of universes and attain the experience of finding God the Father on paradise. I admonish you ever to remember that your mission among men is to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, the reality of the Father of God, and the truth of the sonship of man. Proclaim the whole truth of the good news, not just a part of the saving gospel. Your message is not changed by my resurrection experience. Sonship with God by faith is still the saving truth of the gospel of the kingdom. You are to go forth preaching the love of God and the service of man. That which the world needs most to know is, men are the sons of God, and through faith, they can actually realize and daily experience this ennobling truth. My bestowal should help all men to know that they are the children of God, but such knowledge will not suffice if they fail to personally, to faith grasp the saving truth that they are the living spirit sons of the eternal Father. The gospel of the kingdom is concerned with the love of the Father and the service of his children on earth. Among yourselves here, you share the knowledge that I have risen from the dead, but that is not strange. I have the power to lay down my life and take it up again. The Father gives such power to his paradise sons. You should be rather be stirred in your hearts by the knowledge that the dead of an age entered upon the eternal ascent soon after I left Joseph's new tomb. I lived my life in the flesh to show how you can, through loving service, become God-revealing to your fellow men, even as I, by loving you and serving you, have become God-revealing to you. I have lived among you as the Son of Man, that you and all other men might know that you are all indeed the sons of God. Therefore, go you now into all the world preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven to all men. Love all men as I have loved you. Serve your fellow man. Serve your fellow mortals as I have served you. Freely you have received, freely give. Only tarry in Jerusalem while I go to the Father, or until I send you the Spirit of truth. He shall lead you into the enlarged truth, and I will go with you into all of the world. I am with you always, and my peace I leave with you. When the Master had spoken to them, he vanished from their sight. Now those were the words that he spoke with his apostles and his immediate circle of influence. But also he spoke those words, I believe, to the entire universe, to mortals on every planet, and to angels above. I believe that. I believe he chose his words in this final days of his ability to be able to communicate with his followers. And I think that he always had to think about these words will echo through the ages. And they have. Many of his statements ended up in the New Testament. About 4 o'clock on Sabbath afternoon, May 13th, the Master appeared to Nalda and about 75 Samaritan believers near Jacob's well at Sychar. The believers were in a habit of meeting at this place near where Jesus had spoke to Nalda concerning the water of life. On this day, just as they had finished their discussions of the reported resurrection, Jesus suddenly appeared before them, saying, from paper 193, "Peace be upon you. You rejoice to know that I am the resurrection and the life, but this will avail you nothing unless you are first born of the eternal Spirit, thereby coming to possess by faith the gift of eternal life. If you are the faith sons of my Father, you shall never die, you shall never perish. The gospel of the kingdom has taught you that all men are the sons of God, and this good news concerning the love of the Heavenly Father for his children on earth must be carried to all the world. The time has come when you worship God neither on Gerizim nor at Jerusalem, but where you are, as you are, in the Spirit and in truth. It is your faith that saves your souls. Salvation is the gift of God to all who believe they are his sons. But be not deceived. While salvation is the free gift of God and is bestowed upon all who accept it by faith, there follows the experience of bearing the fruits of this spirit life as it is lived in the flesh. The acceptance of the doctrine of the fatherhood of God implies that you also freely accept the associated truth of the brotherhood of man. And if man is your brother, he is even more than your neighbor. whom the Father requires you to love as yourself. And you will thus love and serve your brother, because being my brethren, having been thus loved and served by me, go then into all the world, telling this good news to all creatures of every race, tribe, and nation. My Spirit shall go before you, and I will be with you always. From paper 193, section 2, paragraph 1, the Master's 18th Marantxa appearance was at Tyre. On Tuesday, May 16th, a little bit before 9 o'clock in the evening. Again, he appeared at the close of a meeting of believers as they were about to disperse, saying, "Peace be upon you. You rejoice to know that the Son of Man has risen from the dead, because you thereby know that you and your brethren shall also survive mortal death. But such survival is dependent on your having been previously born of the Spirit, seeking and God-finding. The bread of life and the water thereof are given only to those who hunger for truth and thirst for righteousness, for God. The fact that the dead rise is not the gospel of the kingdom. These great truths and these universe facts are all related to this gospel in that they are a part of the result of believing the good news and are embraced in the subsequent experience of those who, by faith, become in deed and in truth the everlasting sons of the eternal God. My Father sent me into the world to proclaim this salvation of sonship to all men, and so I send you abroad to preach this salvation of sonship. Salvation is the free gift of God, but those who are born of the Spirit will immediately begin to show forth the fruits of the Spirit in loving service to their fellow creatures. And the fruits of the divine Spirit which are yielded in the lives of Spirit-born and God-knowing mortals are loving service, unselfish devotion, courageous loyalty, and sincere fairness, enlightened honesty, undying hope, confiding trust, merciful ministry, unfailing goodness, forgiving tolerance, and enduring peace. If professed believers bear not these fruits of the divine Spirit in their lives, they are dead. The Spirit of truth is not in them. They are useless branches of the living vine, and they will soon be taken away. My Father requires of the children of faith that they bear much Spirit fruit. If therefore you are not fruitful, he will dig about your roots and cut away your unfruitful branches. Increasingly, must you yield the fruits of the Spirit as you progress heavenward in the kingdom of God. You may enter the kingdom as a child, but the Father requires that you grow up by grace to the full stature of spiritual adulthood. And when you go abroad telling all nations the good news of this gospel, I will go before you, and my Spirit of truth shall abide in your hearts. My peace I leave with you." And then the Master disappeared from their sight. So there we see the same message, the message of salvation, the bearing of the fruits of the Spirit. It's very consistent with that first message that he gave to his immediate circle, but he also expounded on the fact that it wasn't just the resurrection that was part of the gospel. The real good news is also all of the souls that also were resurrected. And he's telling these people so that they'll go out and teach, put emphasis on the fact that, number one, the Father exists. Number two, that we are his sons through faith. Our faith saves us. And then once we accept that through being born again, we have to bear fruit. And he lays that plan consistently with each group, but he presents it in a different way. So now the final appearance to his apostles at the same place of the Last Supper, Mary Mark's house. So from paper 193, it reads, "Early Thursday morning, May 18th, Jesus made his last appearance on earth as a Marantxa personality. As the 11 apostles were about to sit down to breakfast in the upper chamber of Mary Mark's home, Jesus appeared before them and said," from paper 193, section 3, "Peace be upon you. I have asked you to tarry here in Jerusalem until I ascend to the Father, even until I send you the Spirit of truth, who shall soon be poured out upon all flesh, and who shall endow you with the power from on high." Simon Zealots interrupted Jesus, saying, "Then, Master, will you restore the kingdom, and will we see the glory of God manifested on earth?" When Jesus had listened to Simon's question, he answered, "Simon, you still cling to your old ideas about the Jewish Messiah and the material kingdom. But you will receive spiritual power after the Spirit has descended upon you, and you will presently go into all the world preaching this gospel of the kingdom. As the Father sent me into this world, so do I send you, and I wish that you would love and trust one another. Judas is no more with you because his love grew cold and because he refused to trust you, his loyal brethren. Have you not read in the Scriptures where it is written, "It is not good for man to be alone"? No man lives to himself, and also where it says, "He who would have friends must show himself friendly." And did I not even send you out to teach two and two, that you might not become lonely and fall into the mischief and miseries of isolation? You also well know that when I was in the flesh, I did not permit myself to be alone for long periods. From the very beginning of our associations, I always had two or three of you constantly by my side, or else very near at hand, even when I communed with the Father. Trust, therefore, and confide in one another. And this is all the more needful since I am this day going to leave you alone in the world. The hour has come. I am about to go to the Father. 193, section 3. When he had thus spoken, he beckoned for them to come with him, and he led them out on the Mount of Olives, where he bade them farewell preparatory to departing from our earth, Urantia. This was a solemn journey to Olivet. Not a word was spoken by any of them from the time they left the upper chamber until Jesus paused with them on the Mount of Olives. And then we finally get to the last appearance, the final leg of the tour. These are the departing words. There are no more words after this. And so far his message has been consistent about what he wants his disciples and his apostles and followers to believe. So he says to them, it was almost 7:30 this Thursday morning, May 18th, when Jesus arrived at the western slope of Mount Olivet with his 11 silent and somewhat bewildered apostles. Imagine what was going on in their minds. They're seeing this Marantia form, this light form of Jesus, and they recognize him. They know who he is. And they know that soon they're not going to be seeing him. It must have been just a completely profound situation for all of these men. And having gone through the turmoil of seeing their creator, son, master, their best friend being crucified, then he shows up 3 days later. Imagine the mixed emotions. So Jesus now prepared to say his last farewell to the apostles before he took leave of Urantia. As he stood there before them, without being directed, they knelt about him in a circle. And the master said, I bade you to tarry in Jerusalem until you were endowed with power from on high. I am now about to take leave of you. I am about to ascend to my Father, and soon, very soon, we will send into this world of my sojourn the Spirit of truth. And when he has come, you shall begin the new proclamation of the gospel of the kingdom, first in Jerusalem, and then to the outermost parts of the world. Love men with the love wherewith I have loved you and served your fellow mortals, even as I have served you. By the Spirit fruit of your lives, impel souls to believe the truth that man is a son of God, and that all men are brethren. Remember all I have taught you, and the life I have lived among you. My love overshadows you. My Spirit will dwell with you, and my peace shall abide upon you. Farewell. And when the Marantia master had thus spoken, he vanished from their sight. This was the so-called ascension of Jesus. It was in no way different from his other disappearances from mortal vision during the 40 days of his Marantia career on Urantia. So the summary here on this final world tour. So with the first group, the apostles and the disciples and the Greek believers, he revealed the message, God as your Father, you are the sons of God on earth. He loves you. You must be born of the Spirit and recognize and accept sonship. And you will have eternal life by accepting this truth. With the second group of believers at Jacob's Well, he proclaimed the gospel, which is God is your Father, and you are the Spirit brothers of this same Father. That is the gospel. Proclaim the kingdom of heaven belongs to all children of God. Love God, serve each other. That was his emphasis to group two. And then at Tyre, group three, another group of believers, his message was be born of the Spirit, emphasis on recognizing sonship, recognizing that God is within you, and after recognizing that, turn around and start serving others, but know that your faith is what saves you. Simple message. And then in group four, or the message to his apostles was basically the same. God is your Father. You are the faith sons. Bear fruit by serving man as you would serve yourself. Love each other, even as I have loved you and served you. And that's the message, so simple, told in many different ways, and not just for people here, but for the entire universe. So it is the reason for the season, and I hope those words have brought you great comfort as they did me. So until the next edition of the Urantia Radio Podcast, peace be with you.